He's here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Joanna Paxinu, and you're listening to At the Movies with Joanna on Sedona Talk Radio. And today's a very special day. We're very happy to welcome back James Chrysantis. He's a gifted and very fine director and cinematographer. He's currently the director and cinematographer of the hit CBS TV show Ghost Whisperer. He reshot the ending of the Academy Award-winning film Chicago. He's been Emmy-nominated twice for 4 Minutes, the story of runner Roger Bannister's quest to break the 4-minute mile barrier, and for Life with Judy Garland, Me and My Shadows. He's with us today to talk with us about an extraordinary and very moving documentary called No Subtitles Necessary, Laszlo and Vilmos. James, welcome back to Sedona Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you, Joanna. It's good to be back. Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to have you. As some of you may know, the film was premiered at the Cannes Film Festival and has been really all over the world, to Greece and Hong Kong and Buenos Aires and Sedona Film Festival, and it has won several awards, the Best Documentary Film at the Santa Fe Film Festival, Outstanding Achievement in Documentary Filming at the Newport Beach Film Festival, and it will be this weekend, this Saturday, the 27th, at the Los Angeles Greek Film Festival.
Right. And we're also showing at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, which is a really great venue. That's Saturday, I should say, at 5:15 p.m. in the afternoon.
Great.
And we have some folks who are participating in the film will be there for the Q&A as well.
Oh, that'd be great. I know people can get tickets online, and I would urge you to get tickets online because this documentary does get sold out quickly. And to purchase tickets online, you would go to www.lagreekfilmfestival.org.
Yeah, that's
right. Jim, can you tell us, this is an extraordinary story, can you tell us about your documentary, about the two wonderful cinematographers and the effect they've had on movie making?
Well, they're not household names, but their work everyone has seen. As the director Richard Donner said in the film, Laszlo Kovacs and Vilmos Zsigmond were and are world famous in Hollywood, and I wanted to bring that story to a wider audience. They started as film students in Hungary in 1956, and they filmed at the risk of their own lives the Hungarian revolt against the communist government and the Russian invasion that crushed it, and they filmed all this stuff, and then they realized they were marked men. They had to leave the country because they were informers and people were being executed just for having a camera, let alone all this movie footage. So they smuggled the film out to Austria and were caught at one point by the Russians and had hidden the film. It's a very interesting, gripping story. And their friendship was forged in that struggle and in that crisis. They got to the West, and they were penniless and didn't speak any English. And they said, what do? We've lost our country, our family, all our friends are left behind. And they said, well, there's only one place to go, and that's Hollywood, because they're cameramen. So they struggled in America, so it's an immigrant story, and they struggled really for over 10 years in low-budget filmmaking and doing every kind of odd job in the movie business, really living outside the main studio business. And Laszlo eventually started shooting for Roger Corman and started shooting these motorcycle films, Hell's Angels on Wheels, very famously, and others, and shot the first 4 or 5 films of Jack Nicholson. Then he was launched into the stratosphere and into the mainstream because he shot Easy Rider for Dennis Hopper, who directed and co-starred Peter Fonda. And that really put him on the map, and it put Vilmos on the map. Now, through this whole period, they always helped each other, and they became sort of famous in Hollywood as these two wild, crazy Hungarians who could shoot a whole movie. I mean, literally, the two of them could shoot a whole low-budget movie, and they were the crew. And they alternated their duties as cinematographers. So Laszlo became famous and suddenly very much in demand by the American New Wave. And he handed off jobs to Vilmos. And then Vilmos equally stepped up to the plate. And the two of them shot some of the most outstanding films of that period of American film for Robert Altman, Peter Bogdanovich, Steven Spielberg's first feature film, Bob Rafelson. The titles include Easy Rider, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, Five Easy Pieces, Paper Moon, Scarecrow, Deliverance. Vilmos shot Close Encounters of the Third Kind and won the Oscar. And he's also notably known for shooting The Deer Hunter. Between the two of them, they shot about 140 movies. And today, Vilmos Zsigmond is still shooting. And he, in fact, he's in London right now prepping Woody Allen's latest film.
Oh, extraordinary man.
Extraordinary man.
Yeah.
And this is the story of
friendship. Extraordinary friendship.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's a 50-year story, and it's remarkable that they both became master artists in their chosen field, and they both remain the closest of friends, closer than brothers. And it's really that story that we explore. The film features interviews of Karen Black, Peter Fonda, Peter Bogdanovich, Dennis Hopper, Sandra Bullock, Leonard Maltin, Bob Rafelson, Tatum O'Neill, Vittorio Storaro, John Voight, John Williams, and a remarkable conversation with Sharon Stone. All of these are their collaborators. So it's also a film that works at several levels. It's a story of friendship, a story of their immigration, an American success story, and a story of mortality, a story of the development of American film and their critical changing of how movies are shot in America, you know, going out on the streets and shooting on location and bringing a new brave ethic to the shooting of movies.
Well, could you tell us a little bit more of their unique contribution to filmmaking?
Well, I mean, the film like Easy Rider was sort of there were several films. I mean, Warren Beatty's Bonnie and Clyde with Arthur Penn came just before that. The studio system was breaking down, and American culture, world culture was changing. And in 1968, Easy Rider came along, and it was, as Peter Fonda said, he wanted to make a film about the politics of individuals and deal with the bigotry and racism of the country and also the struggle that the country was suffering over the Vietnam War and its effect on young people. And Easy Rider really spoke to that, and it was shot all on location. I mean, the freedom of the camera and showing the portrait of two men in search of America was really struck a chord. Vilmos and Laszlo had a European sensibility, and they brought it to to creating amazing portraits of the American landscape and American characters. Mm-hmm. And I think they influenced so many people within Hollywood and around the world. The film really does capture this period of what we call, sometimes called the New Hollywood. I call it the American New Wave, where American film really changed and forever.
It's an extraordinary story and an extraordinary film. I really enjoyed it. And as you say, it's on many levels very, very satisfying. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you first met Laszlo and Vilmos?
Well, I met Laszlo first. I was aware, dimly aware, of their films, of their names. I wasn't aware that there was a director of photography, a cinematographer. I just thought, like most people, that they set up a camera and shot it, and the director did everything. Then you find out that actually, no, there's a cinematographer who really crafts and creates the images. And I'd seen Laszlo's biker pictures and things when I was younger. And I saw the movie Scarecrow, Five Easy Pieces, of course, Easy Rider, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, really remarkable bits of photography. And later, when I decided to become a filmmaker myself, I was studying at the American Film Institute, and Laszlo was a guest artist there. He showed us Paper Moon, which is a fantastic black and white masterpiece. If you haven't seen the film, I recommend to all of you in the audience to really rent it on DVD. It is a remarkable achievement. It's a perfect movie, great story, and the black and white photography showing the Depression is amazing. And the day I saw it, he was doing a talk through. This is sort of the prelude to the DVD commentaries we have today. And we were in a large theater, and he controlled the volume, and he would talk about different parts of the scene. We'd watch a bit of the movie, interject a question. And I realized what a cinematographer did from watching that movie and his description of his work. This is the same man that shot The Color, rainbow-laden, rough, edgy, gritty, Easy Rider. And here was a piece of amazing, lush, black and white photography, also a road picture, also a portrait of two characters traveling across America, but in a completely different style. And I realized that's what a cinematographer brings to the movie. The cinematographer is the eye of the movie. About a year later, I had the good fortune to get an internship with Vilmos Zsigmond. AFI acquired this for me. And I was the camera intern on The Witches of Eastwick, which was a real treat and a supreme capping of my formal education. Jack Nicholson, Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, Cher, Vilmos Zsigmond shooting, George Miller of Road Warrior frame directing, and amazing production designer Polly Platt, who was formerly married to Peter Bogdanovich and did The Last Picture Show and Paper Moon. Amazing people, and I learned so much, you know, about filmmaking, especially watching Jack Nicholson on that.
Really?
At the end of the movie, Vilmos and George Miller, who actually is Greek-Australian, which I didn't know, they liked what I was doing. They hired me to shoot some little special effects inserts and little pieces. There was a time-lapse shot of a bowl of fruit that had to rot very quickly. Because Jack Nicholson, the devil, had cast a spell on Susan Sarandon to make her age. And this had to be visualized through the rotting of this fruit. So it was my first kind of real job in Hollywood. And it sort of helped launch my career. So during the filming of Witches of Eastwick, that's when I saw the two men together. Vilmos announced to George Miller on the set one day, a movie that, by the way, was over schedule, way behind and over budget. He said, "We're going to have a long lunch today." George asked, "Why?" I mean, I've never heard this on a movie set. I mean, everyone thought an actor is delayed or something, but you know, it's a very, very efficient operation usually. And Vilmos said, "Today is the 30th anniversary of the Hungarian Revolution. We were having a long lunch." And then out in the we were on location and out in the forecourt of this estate where we were shooting. Some Hungarians started to show up, and they brought a picnic lunch, and tables were set up, and wine was brought out.
Oh.
Laszlo Kovács and his wife came, and Laszlo and Vilmos presided over this little banquet and toasted the revolution and the friends and family they lost, and also said, "We're sad that our country will never be free again." Now, this was in 1986, and of course, no one knew that the wall would shortly fall,
right,
and communism would collapse. But that's when I saw the two men together, and then that was the day I said, "Wow, what a story." I'd heard the pieces of the story around Hollywood, but to actually see them talk about it, and their relationship struck me.
Yes.
So I carried this idea for 22 years, really, and until it became apparent that it was time to do this film.
And it's such a wonderful film. It's such a wonderful tribute to not only talented men, but men of character and dignity and just so many wonderful qualities. It's as if they have passed the torch on to you. And,
that's part of the story of it. It is a story of the power of a life, in this case the power of two lives, and what they did with their success. Not just that they became great artists and became successful in Hollywood. They didn't let that go to their heads. As soon as they became successful, this goes back into the 70s, they started doing workshops and seminars, and they shared their knowledge. And they did literally hundreds of seminars and lighting and cinematography workshops all over the world, really for no remuneration. I mean, they just did it because that's what their teachers in Hungary asked them to do. When Vilmos won the Academy Award, he asked his teacher in Hungary, "How can we help you?" And this teacher said, "Help young people." And that's what they set out to do. They established the Budapest Master Cinematography Class, which happens every 2 years. And the best film students from all over the world come together for a month to do these lighting workshops and cinematography studies. And their examples really helped. That's another aspect of how they helped change Hollywood, which when I arrived there in the 80s, was still a very clannish, closed, secretive kind of environment where you didn't share the knowledge with the next person. And they really broke that. And their example is a shining example to everyone in our industry.
Yes, it is. And these two talented men to start giving back so soon in their careers, that is just wonderful that they've shared their experience and their knowledge and their insight and future filmmakers. And it's a wonderful, wonderful gift that they've given back.
Yeah.
Could I go off topic for 1 minute? You said something about Jack Nicholson when you were working on the film.
On the Witches of Eastwick,
You said there was something very extraordinary about him. Would you mind sharing that?
Well, this is one of the things I try to do in my films, to show how films are really made. And what I learned from Nicholson was that, you know, his reputation is this, you know, wild and crazy Jack. But in fact, I have 25 years in movies and television, and he's among the most precise and exacting and talented technical actors. And that's really not recognized, because his craft is so great that his technique is invisible to the audience. So one day on The Witches, a very striking monologue he gives in Witches of Eastwick, where he is in a church, and he's playing the devil, and he's kind of confronting the local congregation and complaining and giving a speech about his opinion, the devil's opinion of women. And it's a very, very striking and outspoken speech from Jack Nicholson. But he came up after we've done this several times, but after take six, he came over to the camera operator in Vilmos, and he said, you know, when I'm saying this one line where you're coming toward me with the camera, and if I say when I say women, and if I fling my arms out to the side, will my hands be cut off in the frame? And Vilmos said, well, if you do it too late, Jack, it'll be cut off. If you do it too early, it'll be weak. But his sense of the camera and the lens was so precise that I remember it was being take seven. It was the only take where this happened, where he made this incredible gesture, and he said, women, and his fingertips touched the frame line of the anamorphic frame. And I thought to myself, I bet that's in the movie, and indeed it was. But he could do 13 takes in a row of different emotional performances, but the same technique to hit marks and turn and timing was very, very precise, but all invisible, really, to the audience.
That's
completely natural. So it's an interesting a thing that we don't really get in our Entertainment Tonight culture.
Yes, that's very true. Your documentary, as I said before, has been shown around the world, and I was wondering if you noticed different reactions from different audiences and Hong Kong or Greece or Buenos Aires or the United States.
I was concerned about that. I was concerned that the humor, especially, there's a lot of humor in the film, because the struggle of these two guys, and I mean all the things they had to go through and coming up in Hollywood and their repartee between them. And I was always worried that wouldn't translate into other languages. And happily, in Greece and in Buenos Aires and in all over America, you know, the laugh points are the same no matter what language. When we premiered in Cannes, the French got it too. So it's universal. The film was very well received in Hong Kong. So it's a universal story, and I'm very, very happy. Especially gratifying to me and a pleasant thing is that the young people responded to this film so well. It's really a young story. And I think young people in this crazy world we're in, they see the example of these two young guys and what they went through. And I think young people can see through their example a path to their own futures.
Absolutely.
Because the profound friendship and their commitment to each other, you know, really forged in adversity, is really the great inspiring story of this. And we say, like on the poster, we say, it's no subtitles necessary, Laszlo and Vilmos, two heroes, one road.
I love that line.
They kept their eyes on the prize.
Yeah. It's a wonderful film. It's just extraordinary. And just fall in love with these two men and their gift and their talent. And Could you tell me, as a cinematographer, how has that affected your role as a director?
Well, I think I started in more experimental and then documentary filmmaking. I shot and directed. In fact, the first film I did was about the life of a first film of any note was a documentary about the life of a Greek mountain village. And I think I can actually point to the scenes in the summer wheat harvest where I became a cinematographer. I really became a filmmaker because I had to understand how to show the beauty of this and what shots I needed to show it to the audience and the details and so forth. And it was when I really, through documentary filmmaking, I was interested in telling dramatic stories. And I think my documentary work informed my dramatic storytelling ability as a cinematographer and director. And then as I do drama and direct drama and direct fictional stories, documentary background helps me by keeping it real and how to make it real and believable and credible and at the same time emotional and dramatic and not melodramatic. And that's always the fine line, and it's different for every story you're telling.
Yes. Well, when showing your film this Saturday at the Los Angeles Greek Film Festival, who will be attending the Q&A after the film?
You know, I can't promise, but I'm going to give you the cast list, and there's some of these folks are going to be there, and we never know, given the everyone's busy schedules. I don't think Sandra Bullock will be there because she has a number one movie out in the country, and she's been, pounding the bricks, promoting it, that was the proposal. The film features Karen Black, of course, Peter Fonda, Dennis Hopper, Ellen Kouris, Leonard Maltin, Tatum O'Neill, Bob Rafelson, Sharon Stone, John Voight, John Williams. The great cinematographer Haskell Wexler, I think, will be there. I almost can guarantee that. So, Haskell, you're listening. Please show up. The great Haskell, of course, was a two-time Academy Award winner. Very close friend of Laszlo Gomos. He shot Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and Bound for Glory, which he won the Oscar. He's a five-time nominee. Owen Roitzman, a great cinematographer, may also be there. He's very well known for The Exorcist and The French Connection and many other movies, also a five-time nominee. Alan Davio, who shot E.T., The Extraterrestrial, and more recently Van Helsing, is also a good friend and could be there. Peter Fonda might be there. So it's hard to say with people's schedules, This is also another aspect of this that I dealt with it a little bit. It's a story of the collaboration of filmmakers. So what's interesting about the film is often artists talking about not just their own films, but commenting on the work of other films. There's a beautiful section. Karen Black was an Easy Rider and brilliant in Five Easy Pieces, of course, Academy Award nominee. But one of her interesting contributions to the film is her discussing Jessica Lange's performance in Frances and how Laszlo shot Frances, and that collaboration between the actor and cinematographer. That's often in our celebrity press, that the intricacies and the beautiful detail and the reality of filmmaking is really, given a short shrift, I think. And that's one of the things I wanted to show in the film, that it's really a collaboration with the director, the actors, the writers, of course, the editors, production designers, and of course, the person who makes the image, the cinematographer.
It's a wonderful film, and it does talk about filmmaking as an artistic talent and a collaborative.
That's a given. The film is not often spoken of as in an artistic way, and that's why I wanted to focus on these films that Laszlo and Vilmos did in the late 60s, early 70s. Really, and their attitude is always, a film is an art, and it can be entertaining. And these films, from Easy Rider forward to Sugarland Express, these were great pieces of art and also great entertaining. And these were the top box office films of their day. So I think being artful and being entertaining and financially successful are not mutually exclusive. And the other aspect of the films they tended to work on, they tended not to work on big effects movies, with the exception of Close Encounters with Third Kind and Ghostbusters by Laszlo. But they tend to work on films of a human scale. Close Encounters is almost spiritual quest, while at the same time being extremely entertaining, extremely funny, extremely gripping and dramatic. and dealing with you know, where our place in the universe. But you know, a film like The Deer Hunter, it really epitomizes, you know, the kind of films that Laszlo Tomasz tried to work on.
And the films are timeless. I mean, you could see them today. If anyone who hasn't seen them sees them today, they'd still be effective. They'd still be emotionally involved. They'd still be overwhelmed by them. So there's a timelessness to their films, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's really about 40, 50 films they've done that are just really remarkable. And it's so hard to make a movie. It's a lot of work to make even a bad movie. to make a good movie. And to make a great movie, it is such a difficult task. I think we have so many movies in our culture, and people take for granted the effort, I think, that goes into them. They are very, very difficult to make at a great level. And Laszlo Tomasz made so many movies in her careers at a fantastic level.
Remarkable. Okay, Saturday, June 27th, 5:15 at the Egyptian Theater on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles, and it's the Los Angeles Greek Film Festival. See it, you will never forget it. Jim, we have 2 minutes left, and I was just curious, what else is next for you?
Well, I'm just beginning. I'm calling you from Universal Studios right now. I'm prepping to begin the next the fifth season of Ghost Whisperer. Jennifer Love Hewitt's directing the first episode. She's become quite a good director, and in fact, we will hit episode 100. So it's been a very successful run. And we onward and upward with that show. I'll be directing as well as shooting the show this year.
Congratulations!
So we're very, very proud of it. And in a very difficult marketplace, as everyone knows, to have a show go for 5 years and be so successful, we are very proud of it. We're getting we're the first show since The X-Files really to get this kind of success on a Friday night. And now we've opened up Friday night as a real successful night for television viewing. And we look at the film, at Ghost Whisperer, as being features for television. So it's a little miniature feature film story every week. And we bring that kind of approach and energy to it. And I think that's why it's successful.
It is a very different kind of show. I've enjoyed several episodes of it. It's very different, very different. And I think you're doing a wonderful job of it.
Thank you.
Well, James, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. It's always a pleasure to meet you and talk with you and listen to the wonderful things you have to say. And I look forward to further discussions in the future and continued success.
Well, thank you very much, Joanna. Are we going to see you Saturday?
Yes, definitely.
You're here, right? Okay, I look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners. You've been listening to At the Movies with Joanna. And this is Joanna Paxinu saying, that's a wrap.